Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Dawn is with me on the line today. Dawn is the director of MADRA. They're a dog rescue organisation. You were contacted just last week, Dawn, about an unsettling situation.
Yes, we got a phone call last week from a lady who had come out of her driveway in the morning, and at the bottom of her driveway on a busy road had found a cardboard box with four tiny puppies in it. And the box was soaking wet. It had been raining overnight. We don't know if the box had been there overnight. The puppies were wet and the box was getting very sodden. And I suppose if it had been left much longer, if she hadn't found them, then they could easily have escaped onto the road. Thankfully, she did find them and she got them in safe and she gave us a ring.
How common are situations like that, Dawn?
Oh, sadly, far too common. 2 days later, we had a call from one of the vets in Galway, and they had had a lady come into them with nine puppies that she had found as well.
So it's nine just abandoned, just side of the road, that's it.
Yeah. And it happens so often that we're immune to it. We'll never be immune to tiny puppies, but we're used to dealing with it, unfortunately. We've got way too much experience in getting that phone call where somebody has found a set of abandoned dogs or pups at the side of the road or on the verge or in a woodland or somewhere like that. And we just jump into action and look after them. That's what we're here to do.
So without getting into the blame game, right, but yeah, what do you put this down to? Is this just, and look, I know you don't know and you can't say about these specific cases what happened, but in general, we've too many dogs? Is it just that people are getting dogs, they can't mind them?
I think it's all of those things. I think people, there's probably a lack of knowledge out there, without a doubt. I think people don't, maybe they get dogs without thinking it through. We know this happens, and they don't understand about the importance of spaying and neutering. Maybe they don't know about spaying and neutering. Maybe they know about it, but it's too expensive and they think they can't afford it, and they might not be aware that there's actually an awful lot of help out there from rescues like ourselves who can help with that. People just probably, a lot of the time with the ones we're dealing with, it's not deliberate. It's people just not knowing. And, you know, we say here, like, the neighbour's dog is responsible for so many unwanted litters in Ireland. Certainly the ones that we deal with, you know, someone's got their dog and they haven't had it spayed or neutered and it escaped, or the neighbour's dog got in or whatever. And then suddenly, you know, we all know what happens. There's a litter of puppies a few weeks down the line. And, you know, obviously it's completely preventable, but sometimes, you know, accidents happen. And what we say to people is, you know, if you do get in trouble, give us a ring or give your local rescue a ring, give the dog warden a ring to get advice and find out what to do. Don't leave it to the stage where, you know, you end up being so overwhelmed that you dump them at the side of the road. You know?
Because we've been reading similar situations to what you experienced just last week. And people are often very quick to blame, whether it be rightly or wrongly. Puppy farms for all of this, Dawn?
Well, puppy farms are commercially producing huge numbers of puppies in this country. You know, we have this dreadful title of being the puppy farming capital of Europe. There's a very good article at the weekend in the Times by John Mooney about just how commercialised it is and how much money people are making from it. And puppies are literally being farmed like farm animals. That is what's happening in this country. So, and they're being exported. They're not just, you know, they're not just supplying the trade in Ireland. So without a doubt, there are too many dogs and pups being bred in Ireland. That's absolutely a given. We know we've done the homeless dog census for the last couple of years. And on any given day in Ireland, there are 3,000 dogs in rescues and local authority pounds. So there are way too many dogs. And obviously the puppy farming trade is not helping. They're generating demand for designer breeds and churning them out. And I assume sometimes accidents happen and, you know, maybe there are some dogs that just don't get sold potentially. But what we're finding, though, is we're rural, we're based in Connemara, and the pups that are coming into us tend to be more from rural areas. There's a lot of collies, a lot of collie cross puppies coming in. Lurchers over East Galway tend to be a lot of lurchers and greyhound crosses. So it depends on, you know, there's so many different pockets where the puppies are coming from and for different reasons.
Susie Walsh is with me of Dog Behaviour from dogbehaviour.ie. Do we need greater regulation around so-called puppy farms, Susie?
Oh, absolutely, 100%, without a doubt. Like, I second what Dawn said. She said it brilliantly there. But we need everything in this country. Our bite rate is going up. The level of dogs that are in rescue is too high. People are getting dogs that are unsuitable for their home. And it's a huge amount of problem that is happening is we're just breeding too many dogs. And we need more regulation. We can't have people continually keeping 200 and 300 breeding female dogs and just churning them out. And the problem is anyone can breed a dog. Anyone can sell a dog. Anyone can buy a dog. And there's no regulation in around any of that. There's no breeding for health. There's no breeding for temperament. And there's no even putting dogs, because at the end of the day, a lot of these puppy farmers, they don't care where these puppies go once they sell them. And so they're selling the wrong dog to the wrong family in the wrong home, and nobody's getting the support they need from day one. So something has to change and something has to happen, because we can't, the rescues are inundated, which is why obviously you get dumped puppies and things like that, because the facilities aren't there for the accidents or for the stray dogs or for things like that.
We've no regulations at all, Susie. Like I could decide today I'm going to go out, as I thought there were regulations with regards to animal welfare around the space that the dogs, you know, the pens or that they're in, where they're held, conditions around that.
That's good for livestock. So if you think about that, you want to buy a puppy that's raised just because it's got their suitable food, water, shelter. Now, you need a puppy that's being handled. You need a puppy whose parents have been temperament tested, whose parents have been health tested, and who have been handled and in a home and in a family and picked and cuddled and all those kind of things. If you're planning to take it into your home with children, you can't take a dog that's been raised like livestock. You know, we all know what cows are like when we raise cows like livestock. They're fearful and they run away from people. Mm. The same happens with dogs. And we're supposed to bring, you know, and these are, unfortunately, people aren't aware of that. And like that, again, your puppy farmer isn't going to give you advice on what, is this the right breed for your home? Is this the right age for your children to get the dog? Because they don't care. They're just looking for money at the end of the day. And they'll sell you 2, 3, 4 puppies, whatever you like. You can go out and buy 10, 15 puppies today if you want.
But your argument, Susie, is that anybody, like I could decide today, this is a business I'm going to set up at the house. It's that is that a case there's no regulation around who can become a puppy?
Yeah, you can get a license. You can get a license, but the license will be turned out for the facilities in Ireland who have a license for 300 breeding females. Do you think that's not appropriate? That's insane. Who can manage that level of dogs? And what they're doing then is inducing them to go into heat cycle after heat cycle, so they're breeding more and more pups. And none of that is regulated, how many pups a female has. And we know generational trauma now is a thing. It's been researched recently in mice and other species. And so you're then just breeding more and more problematic dogs, which ends up, you know, where we all suffer, because, you know, all I can say is the bite rate has just exploded this year, which is... really depressing.
Tony is with me. Stay with us, Susie. Tony's on the line as well. Tony, you're a greyhound breeder, is that right?
That's right, yeah. And you're in County Cork.
You're in Cork. But there's pretty stringent protocols, is there not, that you guys have to abide by?
There is. Well, the greyhounds, we are very regulated. I suppose over the years, all the things got tighter and tighter. But a greyhound bitch can only have 6 litters in her lifetime. And she can have 2 more, provided the bitch checks us before and after her she has pups. So that covers the number of litters. But every greyhound in is microchipped, has to be at 12 weeks old. So if I sell a pup, a litter, if I breed a litter of pups and I sell them, they must be all microchipped before I leave my yard. And I must notify the greyhound board of who the next owner is. And whoever's written on that microchip form is responsible for that dog wherever it turns up in its lifetime again. So, and I'm fined, or the fine falling, it's such a legal requirement that I must do to change the ownership before I sell any pup to anybody. And if I don't do it, I am still responsible for that pup forever, and I can be fined at any time.
So you have to be registered in the first instance, Tony, as a greyhound breeder. You then have to microchip what the dogs are producing, and you have to notify. You have to notify the organisation as to who the owners are of the particular pups.
No, I can breed one litter. If I have one breeding bitch, I don't have to be registered. But if you have 3 brood bitches in the yard of breeding age, you must be registered as the greyhound breeder. And everything goes forward from that in. And when they're microchipped, you know, the steward comes out and he microchips them. And if they're not in good health or anything, he won't register them and he'll call on the other code, this, the welfare officer, to you, and you'll have to. So they must be in good order at all times. And you must be able to trace every pup you sell. You must register the new owner's name and address, or else you're going to be fined. So that cures your problem quick. If you're going to be fined, you won't be able to complain.
Yeah, so those at the top will know who owns the dogs. Should this be uniform across all breeds, Tony?
Sure, it should, because like nobody wants to see like pups being thrown around and dogs straying around the place without any accountability and doing harm to sheep and all the other things. So if they're all microchipped and if the paperwork is done and made be done, well, that keeps everybody accountable. And when people are accountable, there'll usually less accidents and less misbehaviour.
So you see a need for greater accountability?
Absolutely, yeah. And if I walk down the street, any dog that's down the street, the person should be able to walk up and scan them and say, oh, that dog has belonged to ABC, and in the story. And there's no good nice thing. I gave that dog to Johnny 6 months ago because I have a legal requirement to get the ownership changed.
Donal Ryan is with us too, Tony. Donal's a vet with City Vets based in Limerick. Why don't we have greater regulation around this, Donal?
Well, I think we do, because like the greyhound, your previous speaker, you know, explained quite clearly the obligations on him as regards the registration and the management of his dogs. But that's the same for every dog owner. Every dog owner should have their dog microchipped, and all pups should be microchipped. That's the law, but people are not complying with the law, and it's very difficult to enforce these laws because, you know, in Limerick, to my knowledge, there's just two dog wardens. So it is partly education. The first speaker talking about the finding of that litter, I mean, it's very disappointing, very dismaying under the circumstances, but it's no surprise to me. It's an old chestnut. People have been doing that sort of thing for years. And you know, in a way, there's no answer to it in the way the system has worked at the present.
So you say, Donal, the rules are there, they're just not enforced.
Well, first of all, it's very difficult. I mean, again, the greyhound owner, he pointed to a system that's monitoring what he's doing, and that there's consequences for people who fail to do that. Well, that's board and gun has taken responsibility for that. They're managing their particular breed well, and there's consequences for people who don't comply. For the general dog, if you have a mutt and the pot has pups, there are obligations for you in law, but nobody's going to enforce them. There's nobody knocking at your door saying, this is what you need to do.
But what about for those that are operating puppy farms, Donal? So this means that all of the puppy farm owners, everything that's produced in their puppy farm, those dogs should all be microchipped before they're passed on.
Well, yes, that's my understanding of the law, that the dogs that anybody owns you're obliged by law to have it microchipped. I mean, to me, it's common sense. If a family or people go buy a little puppy, those puppies can just walk out the door. They go missing. And the microchip is the best chance you have of getting that dog returned to you, whether it's 2 days later or a week later or 6 months later. Somebody may come across the dog, scan the microchip and ring you and say, we have your little dog.
That's the best chance you have. There's a text here from a listener who says, there's no checks for dog licenses or microchips. That's the problem. So people are abandoning collies when they're too old. We've actually found so many abandoned dogs. And yes, I too have donated them and brought them in to Madra in Galway on a constant basis. Orla Murray is joining us, Donal. Orla's from one of the Irish Kennel Clubs. She's one of the directors there. What's your view around greater regulations for puppy farms, Orla?
I think Susie actually put her finger on a lot of the points that I would kind of agree with. You know, look, at the end of the day, ethical and responsible breeders is what we want and what we need. The Irish Kennel Club will only have very, very stringent checks and regulations in regard to if you want to register puppies, if you want to breed, let's say, if you want to breed a French bulldog or a pug, you must have actually completed a health test, which is called the BOAS test. And that's where, that's the road which we should be going, is making sure that, yes, I mean, let's be honest, like, it is the socially responsible thing to rehome, but sometimes that doesn't suit people's lifestyles. They need a very particular dog to suit their lifestyle and to suit their environment. So what we would suggest is that if they contact the breed clubs and the Irish Kennel Club, they will put them onto a breeder who has met all our very strict and stringent rules.
Okay, so can I just clarify this? Because there's just been a little bit of a mixed messaging around this today.
Yeah.
So I can't just decide today to set up a puppy farm. I have to register with somebody.
No, you need to register with the council. So basically, if you want to set up a puppy farm, you need to go to the councils. You need to be licensed by the county councils. That's who registers the puppy farms. So they will go in and make sure that, you know, the actual basic needs are met, but not necessarily all the other needs, you know, the emotional needs, whatever else. As Susie said earlier, you know, you want your puppy, if you're going to have a puppy going into your home, you want to make sure it's well socialized, well handled. It's used to the television being on, it's used to having the radio on, it's used to people coming in
or
and out.
Around children or...
Yeah. That's exactly.
Okay, but so it's not a case that just anybody in the country can go out and set one up. You do have to register. If you're to follow the letter of the law, you do have to register with the county council. The council have a list of guidelines, is that right, that have to be enforced or checked?
They will issue your licence and they will tell you how many bitches that you're actually allowed to keep and breed from. But unfortunately, that's where they basically just look at you know, the environment. Whereas you need to look at the bigger picture. You need to look at the health and welfare of these dogs and bitches. Now, the problem is a lot of these mixed breeds, while there seems to be misunderstanding in regards to the mixed breeds being healthier, the research is now showing they're not. But the problem is that because they don't register mixed breeds with the Irish Kennel Club, there's no checks and balances for them. So they're the ones they want to breed. They want to breed the mixed breeds because, let's say, they don't have to have... When you send an application in to register puppies with the Irish Kennel Club, you need the dog, both the mum and dad, have to be a certain age. You know, the bitch is only allowed to have 5 litters, which, you know, obviously is going to make you, it means they're not a breeding machine. You need, you know, the age, the number of litters. And if, let's say, dogs that have got very popular recently, which would be, let's say, the French Bulldogs and the Pugs. Now, if you want to register a litter with the Irish Kennel Club of Pugs or French Bulldogs, they have to have what's called a BOAS test, which is basically a breathing test to make sure, because they're a short-nosed dog and they have problems with their, we're trying to alleviate that by you can't register these puppies unless mum and dad are BOAS tested. Now, that's responsible and ethical breeding as far as I'm concerned.
So it's the designer dogs then is the issue here, is it? This kind of the so-called designer, the mixed.
I'm not going to make that broad statement, but they don't have to have health testing done. So we have, let's say you have the Irish Kennel Club, and then the breed clubs would have further health testing. Let's say I have golden retrievers. We have to have hips, elbows, eyes. And the ultimate goal is producing healthy puppies. And that's what our aim is. And I mean, the other thing that we have to remember is if you're buying a puppy, do your research. Don't just decide one day you're going to buy a puppy. And if you can get a puppy within a day or two, that's normally a kind of a red flag for us. Normally, breeders will say, well, look, I'm planning a litter or whatever else. Or, you know, puppies are born and they won't be ready for 8 weeks, because that's kind of norm. But, you know, you research a breed to make sure it suits your lifestyle, make sure your environment suits your puppy. But there's also an onus on breeders. And I think Susie referred to this earlier on, that, you know, as a breeder, we have a responsibility and ethical breeders will have a responsibility to make sure that the puppy that they're selling you actually suits your lifestyle. And that's one of the, you know, if you do that, that's going to stop. Well, I'm not going to say it's going to stop, but it's part of the process of stopping puppies going into rescue and ending up being abandoned on the side of the road.
John O'Callaghan is the founder of Dog Advocacy Ireland. Is the issue then the fact that we might have people running the puppy farms illegally? The lack of consequences for those, John?
Andrea, thank you. Can I start by saying, giving you a quote from Mahatma Gandhi? The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way it treats its animals. I just want that to sink in.
Mm.
Let me finish, Andrea, please. I'm only after coming on the air now, so let me speak. So given that Ireland holds this unenviable, shameful distinction as puppy farm capital of Europe, I'll repeat, puppy farm capital of Europe, where there are thousands of dogs suffering in these hell holes as we speak right now. Thousands of dogs being held captive in these torture chambers, and I'm not being overly dramatic. These registered dog breeding establishments, which is the official name, they you talked about licensing and local authorities. Andrea, there is no governance. There are no inspections. That's the reality. So these puppy farms are free to have an income, an annual income of, wait for it, 200 million per annum on the backs of their criminality.
Well, hang on. Just on that, I just want to be clear about this. Orla, is that true that there's no inspections at all?
No, I think I'm not sure the level of inspection. They must be inspected. I think it's a yearly inspection is the minimum that they have. So I think they do on-the-spot inspections too, but they wouldn't be, like, you're not going to have somebody going in every day checking them. I know they have to meet a certain criteria, and if they don't meet that certain criteria, they do get re-inspected. So they are inspected every year, but the level of inspection after that, I wouldn't be able to comment on.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, look, I know when we did try to make contact with a number of you know, so-called, if you want to say, puppy farms today, you know, for those that are operating within the guidelines that, Orla, you say are there, that are registered mm-hmm. with the council, you know, it's unfair to say that, you know, that everybody out there operating as a puppy farmer is doing something untoward or something illegal, and that's not the case at all. I appreciate that people will be aware of circumstances and probably seen stuff on TV shows over the years or read about it online around people that are operating the so-called black market. That's a very different thing to those that are operating within the parameters of the guidelines that are there, and we should make that point. Listener says the problem is there's just no consequences for the people running illegal puppy farms, and I think that is a bigger concern. This listener makes the point, people complain about puppy farms, but they continue to buy dogs from them because they want the so-called designer dogs. If you don't want puppy farms, perhaps don't buy designer dogs and go to a rescue instead. I think people are part of the problem here. And another listener too makes the point, there's no central database for chip dogs, so there's no way to properly check. Another listener too suggesting absolutely no more regulation. We don't need that. We're swimming in regulations. It just adds cost to the whole thing. And finally, the shelters are full of greyhounds and lurchers. Greyhounds aren't even considered dogs, but livestock under Irish law. They can be subjected to AI six times a year, says this listener. That's John O'Callaghan, Orla Murray, Donal Ryan, Susie Walsh, Tony and Don, who's the director of Modera. Thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.